The following audio is from New Generation Worship Center. For more information, please visit www.ngworshipcenter.org.
I'm going to read from 1 Peter, in the New Testament, first chapter, verses 3 through 6. 1 Peter, in the New Testament. First chapter, verses 3 to 6. And I wanted, before I read the scripture, I wanted to give you a topic or a subject that I'm going to be discussing or going to be ministering this morning. My son walked all over my sermon today, so I had to do a little alterations a little bit on it. But that's all right. You just helped me out. I'm glad those of you who are online now wasn't here at those in Sunday school, so you'll get a chance to hear it for brand new. My subject will be three words, in your suffering. Now, that's a weird subject. I'm going to leave you with three words that will make you wonder, what in the world is he talking about? In your suffering. And the scriptures of an ancient word of God read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye rejoice, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In our suffering, or in your suffering, you want to take it personal. In your suffering. Suffering comes in many forms and many different ways. And the Bible tells us in one part of the scriptures, if you would, in all that you live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And you may wonder why, you know, we're serving a God who has power over everything, who has control over everything. Nothing should be able to happen to us. We should have an invincible shield around us because we are his. We belong to him. We accepted his son as our personal Lord and Savior. Why should we suffer? Why should we suffer? And it makes you wonder a lot of times when you think about the things that we do go through. And sometimes I've heard Christians say, well, it ain't about God. You know, God not in this. God is the God of all things. Everything that happened, whether it be good, whether it be bad, or whatever the case may be, God is involved. Either God is the one who put it together for it to happen, or either God allowed it to happen. But God is involved in everything, especially in your suffering. There's a reason why we suffer. There's a reason why we go through things. And there is a reason why things happen to us. And the question is, when these things happen, what do you do? Okay, that's the question. You know, because suffering is something that we don't want to do. We don't want to go through. None of us here want to suffer. You know, none of us here want to be hurt. None of us here don't want to go through suffering. None of us here want to go through pain. You know, none of us here really, really care for nobody to be messing with us. I'll put it like that. We don't care for nobody to come on our territory and be trying to bring us down. We don't care about that. We don't really want that to happen. But I'll tell you one thing, when we, even when you were out there without Christ, you suffered. Somebody trying to bring you down. Somebody trying to take you down. Somebody trying to do take away from you what and break up your mess with your reputation and who you are. When you before you knew the Lord, that happened. And so you thought that maybe you thought that when you accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and that that was over with. It's not going to happen again. Wrong. It does happen again. But it's got a different tone to it now. It's got a different reason to it now. It's got a different purpose to it now. And then my question is, when you acted a certain way and you didn't know God, okay, you hadn't accepted Christ as a personal Lord and Savior, when you reacted to suffering and what you went through before you knew him, now you come on this side and you know him and his suffering is happening, but it's got a different tone to it. It's got a different way it's coming at you. My question is, how do you react? How do you react? Do you react the same way? You know, and when we were out there and didn't know God, yeah. We want to get somebody a piece of our mind. Oh yeah, at least, you know. We want to tell them, you know, get back, you know. Yeah, you don't want to mess with me here, you know. You don't know me like that. You know, we want to, you know, okay, all right, you want to be that way? You know, I know how to fight. You know, that's one of the first things we could do. I know how to take care of myself. That's what we did when we didn't know him. It's a whole other thing, a whole other platform. Now that you've accepted Christ, now that you know him, suffering comes. When you didn't know God, and suffering came, and in these many different forms it comes. Sometimes when you are sick and you are suffering in your physical body and you go through things, I wonder what you think about as you're laying up on the bed or you're laying up in the hospital sick, whatever you're going through. I wonder what you think about, you know, am I going to get out of this place? Is the doctors, you know, these nurses in and out of my room? I need them to let me rest. You know, I don't know if you've been to the hospital or not. The nurses are coming in and out. The doctor, you very seldom see the doctor. You know, you see him when you first go in. You might see him when you get ready to go out. But you're getting your reports from the nurse. And then maybe in between the time, they'll come to see you and tell you what's going on and what they're going to do. And you're suffering. You're laying up there. And yeah, and a lot of time, I don't know if you've ever been to the hospital before or if you've been on the other side of someone that has been in the hospital. I have. But you're laying up there. And sometimes, I have as a Christian. I never was when I was, before I didn't know the Lord, I had never gone to the hospital. But a lot of times people lay up in the hospital and laying in the bed and anybody, the only person that comes in and out of your room is the nurse. Or the nurse's assistant coming in to do vital signs and checks and making sure you're all right and somebody bringing you food that don't taste worth anything. I would rather have them bring me McDonald's. I'm suffering. I'm sitting up here, laying up here. I'm going through changes and this food they're bringing me, I can't even taste it. It doesn't even taste good. I don't know if you've been to the hospital before. So you try that because you eat it because you know you gotta put something on your stomach. But you're going through suffering, just laying there. Because you're sick, and then you wonder where all your friends are. You okay? You wonder where your spouse is. You wonder where your children are. You wonder if they know that you're going through something right now. Maybe it's a real critical or something you're going through in the hospital, and you don't know if you're gonna make it out or not, or you don't know what the result that the laboratory is gonna come back and say that's going on with you because you don't know. That's when you don't know God. Even as a Christian, when you have to go, if you have to go to the hospital, maybe with COVID or whatever case may be, whatever it is that is going through your body, you know, as you're lying there, you don't know. When you don't know, as a sinner, you have a big old question mark you're dealing with. As a Christian, and you're going to that kind of suffering, just laying up there, it's a time for you to, it's time out. Maybe you've been running around trying to take care of everything. Trying to do everything. And all of a sudden, your life comes to a standstill. You're lying there looking up at the ceiling. That's a great time to talk to God. That's a great time for God to talk to you. In your suffering, what do you go through? In your suffering, what do you think about? That's one area of stuff. When you're sick, maybe when you lost a loved one and you're suffering because of a loss of a situation in your life, a loss of a loved one, a loss of a job. You know, a loss of a friend, losses that take place in your life. You're suffering. You're wondering what you're going to do now. That person is no longer in your life. Do you ever go to God? The Lord didn't promise us a bed of roses. Once you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you're not going to be on easy street. As a matter of fact, it's going to be just the opposite. It seemed like whatever was going on in your life now has been magnified. He said, when the devil had you and you were on his side, it wasn't that bad. It's kind of like when Israel was in Egypt. You know, even though they were enslaved to the Egyptians, you know, they did eat. You know, they did have a place to stay. You know, but when they got out and had to leave Egypt, they left Egypt after they prayed and asked God to give them a deliverance. God gave them a deliverance from their suffering. And they went out to the Red Sea, and they came up to a point where they felt like they had nowhere else to go. They started complaining. Do we ever get to that point in our life where whatever's going on and not suffering, we start complaining? You know, where's God? You know, I'm a Christian. You know, I serve him. You know, I did all that I knew in my heart to do. But now here I am going through all these changes. And he tell me, don't retaliate. Somehow I'm being talked about. You know, I'm being torn down. Everything that I know I'm not, to tell me and everybody out there that I am. And it's all a lie. And they go, and people like that are going to believe that? Even people who I thought knew me. What's he going to do? You going to retaliate? The Lord says in the scriptures, vengeance is mine. I will repay, said the Lord. So now what? Am I going to believe that? And then, you know, I know what I can do, even in my suffering. I can retaliate. I can fight back, talk back, do everything it is that takes to make it through the situation. That's me. That's my reputation. They don't want to mess with me. But the Lord says, vengeance is mine. I was reading something the other day about what goes around comes around. That's the world way of saying some things. The Lord said, be not deceived. This is the word of God. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So what kind of seed are you sowing in your suffering? The scripture said it's something that a lot of people have a hard time doing. Christ himself said, love your enemy. Do good to them who misuse you, basically, and talk about you and just tear you down and try to mess with you and break you down. Do good to them. Show God's love to them, because one day they're going to be suffering. One day they're going to be hungry. One day they're going to need Christ to show up in their life. They may be acting like they don't even know God. Maybe they don't know God right now. But through your suffering, through what you're going through, how they're tearing you down, one day they're going to need you. Are you going to be able to go to that same person that called you everything but a child of God and let them know that God loves you? Are you going to be like, who was that preacher? No, in the book of Jonah, the Ninevites. God sent him to tell the Ninevites that he was going to destroy them. Jonah didn't want to go there. No, he didn't. You know why? Because he didn't like the Ninevites. He said, God, basically, as far as he was concerned, Lord, go ahead and destroy them. You know, but don't send me to tell them that. Don't send me that to tell them a warning. God said no. And so God, with the mission that God gave him to go tell the people that I'm sending a warning. God is getting, even in your suffering, even about people who have torn you up and down, God wants you to go to him and tell them he's sending a warning. Even if you don't want to go, God wants you to go, even in your suffering. So what do you do in your suffering? And my question with you is, that, hey, stop and take a look and turn around and answer the question. Somewhere in your life, some area in your life, maybe more than one area, do you go through suffering? Do you? On your job? Maybe in your family? Maybe with people in your neighborhood? Or maybe with people around you? Maybe the people you just run into in just a moment's notice? Maybe you go into a store, or you run to a cashier or somebody at the store who just do everything but the right thing to you. Maybe because when you're driving down the highway and somebody turns in front of you and you want to give them the number one sign or whatever the case may be, you know, a few extra words or whatever the case may be, you know, because they mess with you, you know, And that's not really suffering, but that's a little bit something that got your attention and kind of made you want to act the way that God would have you to act. Yes, they go through that. And so the question ought to come up, pop up real quick. Hold on. You know what? I'm going through something and I didn't like it. That's what basically suffering is all about. You're going through something you didn't like. I didn't like it that God took my friend. I didn't like it that God allowed me to get into hospital. I didn't like the thing that happened to me in my personal life. And it's all about me. And do you realize that in your suffering, God is growing you? In your suffering, you're being sent through a fire. It may be a little fire, depending on how big the situation is. It may be a big fire that's troubling you all the time, that's got you got concerned all the time, and you don't have an answer to what you're going through. You know, it's a trial of your faith. We talked about faith last week. When your faith is challenged, it's a trial of your faith. There's always somebody, it seemed like Satan would always use somebody to get in your ear to try to turn you away from God and how you react to what you're going through in your life. Always something. If ain't nothing that somebody you don't see, but something speaking to you in your heart, in your ear, I wouldn't take that. I have gone through some things and I haven't hit Christians, and I just have to turn my ear off, which I had sometime like ear something in my ear so I could turn off what they're saying, because I don't want to react to what they're saying. Have anybody ever told you while you were going through your suffering, man, I don't see how you can do it? I'm going to say, you know, I really want to say, it ain't me. Don't tell me. You don't see, it ain't me. It ain't me that's keeping me while I'm going through what I'm going through. It's not you that's keeping you when you're going through what you're going through and still hold your integrity. It's not you that's keeping you. And yes, it's not your thinking. It's not your smarts. It's not what you're doing. It's not you trying to be wise or whatever the case may be. It's not about you. Because you don't have the power to keep you. Because if it was up to you, if it was up to me, they would find out who I am. In other words, that's what I had a saying in Texas. Don't mess with Texas. I have my own saying. Don't mess with me. But God says, you know, you belong to God. You belong to him. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, said the Lord. In other words, the Lord is saying in words that we understand, I got your back. I got your back. You know, you just be the servant that I called you to be. Be the loving servant that I called you to be. Do what thing I told you to do. I got your back. Whatever you're going through. I don't care if you're in a hospital and the doctors don't know what to do. The Lord still says, I got you. I got your back. Maybe you lost a loved one and you feel like you're all alone and you're going through suffering and pain concerning the loss of a loved one. The Lord is still saying, I got your back. I got this. And while you're going through what you're going through, but you know, God is molding you through that suffering. God is molding you through that pain. God is molding you through what you're going through, because you're not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. When God says you're ready, he'll say, come home. But in the meantime, you're going to go through the fire. Precious gold, precious metals, in order to get the impurities out, to make it real gold, to make it real silver, whatever it is, it has to go through fire to get the impurities out. Those things that God don't like, those things that are not like God. We're not there yet. We're getting there, but we're not there yet to get those impurities out. Those things that are not like God. From the day you accepted Christ until the day you die, God will be working on you through all your suffering. That is one of the key things. Through suffering. So what do you do in your suffering? How do you deal with it in your suffering? Do you turn to God when you line up at the hospital or when you are very sick? Do you turn to God when you've been talked about and cut down and taken down? Do you turn to God? Do you ever ask God when those times of suffering happen in your life, as you're being purified in Christ, as you're being made precious stones in Christ, as you're being made of gold in Christ. Do you ever ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, how shall I do through this? Lord, how shall I handle this? And the old saying that they have out here now, and I wonder how many people really follow that. What would Jesus do? While I'm going through, what would Jesus do? While I'm being talked about, what would Jesus do? When somebody cut in front of me and I want to say a few of my old favorite words, what would Jesus do? As I'm being lied about, I know I'm being lied about, and I know I can prove that's a lie, what would Jesus do? Do you know that Jesus was taken to the cross on a lie? Yeah, yeah. And a strange thing about that, and it's just a careful thing to look at, to take note of. It wasn't the Gentiles and the sinners who took Christ to the courts and took him before Herod and decided they would take Barabbas. I mean, they would take a robber and a killer and let him set him free just so they could crucify Christ. It wasn't the sinners out there. It was people who were supposed to be in the church. So don't let that surprise you if sometimes your enemy don't turn out to be church folk. Maybe somebody who sat right beside you in the church. Maybe somebody who sang right with you in the choir. Maybe somebody who met you at the Sunday school every Sunday morning. Maybe somebody who they really didn't know Christ. Anybody who leaves a door open for the devil to work, he will use. Anybody. One sad thing about that, Christ said that when he come back, this is how close it can get, how close to you, to your heart it can get. He says, when he come back, two shall be working in the field, two. One shall be taken and another left. That's the word of God. Two shall be lying in the bed, one shall be taken and the other left. We don't know what that is. We don't know who that is. It could be a co-worker. We're working together. And when Christ comes back, you'll be taken to heaven, your co-worker left. It could be in the bed with your spouse. You could be in the bed with your brother, whatever case may be, or your sister, whatever case may be. One shall be taken and the other left. We're not all going to heaven. I would love for us to be. All of us. That's why it's so important for us as Christians to share the love of Christ with others that are in our lives, that they may have an opportunity to go with him, with us, when Christ comes back. And it is a guarantee that you're not going to live here always. And I often say that. You are not, I am not going to live here on earth always. I've got an appointment to meet. You have an appointment to meet. Now, as far as suffering goes, you say, well, you know, we don't even want to talk about death. We don't want the insurance man to even come to our house and sit down and talk to us about our insurance policy. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm gonna write out $100,000, $200,000 insurance policy so that when I die, I'll never see it. And my question is, when I get down, sit down and write a big old policy for somebody else, for somebody to take care of whatever the finishing thing is after I'm gone, can I trust this person to do that? Are they going to say, wow, look at what I got now? Yeah. This happens so often than not. But I found our main concentration should be upon what is God showing me as I'm going through the suffering that I'm going through. Everybody on this line is going through some kind of suffering. I guarantee. If it's not your health, it's something else. It could be a loved one. It could be a loss in your life. Something that causes pain and suffering. Christ is with us. He said in one part of St. John, in this world you shall have these things. But be of good cheer. How in the world can I be of good cheer when I'm being cut down and taken down and my life is messed up? How can I be of good cheer? God is at work in you. He didn't have to do that. God is molding you and making you. He's purifying you. He didn't have to do that. And Christ says, be of good cheer. How can you have a smile on your face when you're going through hurt and pain? God said, Christ said, be of good cheer. How can I be cheerful when I'm going through stuff? Oh, yes, you can. When you know you are obeying and following the words of Christ. It's not some philosopher, or it's not some author, some self-help book. This is Christ himself speaking to us. Be of good cheer as you go through your suffering. Because there is a final end to all these things. All these things. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. As you go through what you're going through, or whatever case may be, you may weep, you may pray, you may do whatever things come to your mind. Don't be depressed about it, because God is with you. Let him work. Let him have his way. Let him mold you and make you what he would have you to be. Well, final thing I want to say about this, and I mentioned before as I was speaking, go through what Christ went through. When Christ was going to the cross, he looked up at the people who were following him as they were weeping, especially the women that were weeping and the followers who were bold enough to even get close to what he was saying. He said, weep not for me, but for yourselves and your children. Okay? For if they do these things to a green tree, in other words, if they do these things to me, what shall be done to you? And so we're going through it, whatever it is. I'm going through it. You're going through it. You're trying to finally figure out how to deal with it. Yes, well, we're trying to figure out how to deal with whatever we're going through right now. Some of us, maybe you go to the doctor, or some of us, maybe you go to a counselor, some of us, maybe you just go take some pills, or some of us, we try to escape, we deny that things really happen. Some of us go through all kind of phases when we really need to go to God and ask him to help us, because he's molding us. He's making us. God knows exactly what he's doing through what we're going through. So in your suffering, know that God is there. He is. God has a purpose in all the things that he's doing and allowing in your life. Maybe God actually put it together to happen himself. Or maybe he just allowed it to happen through others. But God is there. You're not alone. Through all your suffering, through all your pain, you are not alone. So remember that. Even let's say as Christ was being taken, after he went before Pilate, The people took Christ to Pilate with a lie. And I keep harping on that. I think one of the greatest things that hurt probably us the most, and when somebody who was close to us or who is close to us, whatever the case may be, take our lives and try to destroy us with a lie. And boy, I tell you, if anything else, we want to try to get back at somebody with somebody's packing a lie and telling everybody they can and just tearing you down in the eye of man. You know what? I want you to look at something else. It's not so much in the eye of man that you ought to be concerned about, because man can't do anything to you. Okay, he can't put you in heaven. Man can't put you in hell. And the lie that somebody may carry around, trying to tear you down, trying to make it seem like you're something that you're not, the lie that they're carrying, whatever it is, whoever it is, they're going to have to give account of thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. You know, you can kill a lot of people with your tongue. Don't carry a AK-47 with your tongue, okay? Don't carry a dagger, whatever, and kill somebody. You know, it's easy, you know. Even if it's a half-truth. Even if it's just carrying something that somebody told you that you don't even know the facts of. My mama used to tell me all the time. My mama used to tell me this wasn't a biblical thing, but kind of made sense. She says, if you don't have anything good to say about somebody, don't say anything at all. You're well protected. But I thank God for the fact that Jesus went to the cross, even though it was a lie. Now he could have called the angels. If he wanted to find witnesses to the fact that what they were saying was wrong, he could have called the angels because they were watching the whole thing the whole time. Even when they nailed him to the cross and hung him up there, you know, he knew that he was being hung there on a lie, but he hung there because of his love for you and me, even for the one who spared that lie. He hung there for them. And you know what he said as he hung on the cross? And there's one other person, only one other person as they were dying who said the very same thing. But Christ said, hold not this sin to their charge, for they know not what they do. I am a child of God. They don't know what they're doing. Same thing. That one who cut you off in traffic, that one who call you everything but a child of God, same thing. Hold not this sin to the charge. God wants you to show mercy. Lord, I want you to show love. There was one other man as I finished this sermon. His message is for you today. In the book of Acts, one of the first deacons were speaking the words of God to a bunch of church folk. Here we go again. They didn't want to hear it. He was telling them exactly what God was doing. They didn't want to hear him or anything he was saying. The Bible tells me in the book of Acts, he was one of the first deacons that were chosen, but he was talking about the word of God to them. They took him and threw him outside the city and began to beat him. And when that wasn't enough, they began to stone him to death. It's in the book of Acts. I want you to find that. Because if you find it, I think you'll put more into it. But I'm just going to tell you a synopsis of it. As he was being stoned to death, and this man was being stoned to death, he was not Christ, okay? He was not Peter, James, or John. He was not them either. He was one of the 12 disciples. But do you know what he did? He believed in Christ so much. He looked up into heaven and prayed for the people that were stoning him. Can you pray for your enemy who's calling you down and trying to break you down and sending you all kind of changes? This was a man, okay? This is like, in other words, he wasn't anything that came from heaven, so to speak. But he was a man that came from the same place that you came from, same place that I came from. And he said, lay not this sin to their charge. And do you know, there's the only place in the Bible, the 66 books that we have, where it says Jesus stood up to honor his death. He stood up. He stood up and honored his death and welcomed him into heaven. Now, there's a big difference. When you put it in the hands of God and let him have his way and let him perfect you to where he will stand up in heaven and call your name and say, come hither, come home. See, because, and I'll finish this up. I won't go into elaborate on all too much of anything anymore. But when we get ready to leave this place, we're going to leave here. Make up your minds. We're going to leave here. We're not going to be here always. So make up your mind. Where do you want to go when you leave here? Because you're not going to stay here. As somebody said, you got to get out of here. I don't care where you go, but you got to get out of here. One of these days, we got to get out of this place, okay? And I always say this. I don't know how we're going to get out, but we're going to get out. Charles, my brother, didn't know how he was going to leave here, but he had to leave here. Charles didn't know at what age he would be when he would leave here. I'm sure he thought he had a lot of time. And we do. A lot of time. Oh, I got a lot of time. Look at Pastor Davis. He's up there and he's doing. I want to get at least get up there where he is, you probably think. Oh, I got 20 something more years if I get there. And if I could be like he is, maybe I have longer than 20 years. It's not about living here. It's not. Did you know at my age I'm going through suffering? I'm not talking about physically, mentally, and health-wise. I'm great, but I tell you, the devil is on my trail every day, and the devil is on our trails every day, every one of us. As he died on the cross for those who are causing the pain and the suffering that we're going through, have the frame of mind, the same frame of mind that Christ had. He looked down from the cross on all of them who were calling him everything but he was the Son of God, calling him everything but that. If thou be the Son of God, save thyself and us, two other folks. who are dying on the cross, one on the left side, one on the right side, one a thief, one a murderer. People down below, the chief priests, the religious folk, wagging their heads, you know, who, if he be the Son of God, you know, come down from the cross. They had no idea. If they were look at the spiritual side, if they would have been able to look at the spiritual side, what was going on, the angels in heaven were watching everything. And were waiting for everything. For Christ to say one word, or say two words, come. And they would have taken, they would have wiped out everything on that mountain at that time. But because of his love, he did not do that. And the Lord is molding us, and getting us ready that when we come to that hour of our life that he's ready to take us home, we want to hear him say one thing, two words, what, three words. Let me paraphrase that. Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. May God bless you. May God keep you. As you go through your suffering, go through it with joy. As you go through your suffering, go through it knowing that God has your back. Okay? And you can go through it right. Okay? And you can make even Christians wonder, how do you do it? I know it for a fact. You can even make Christians wonder, man, I wouldn't go through that. I don't see how I could do that. You really would, you know? But, you know, just to know that God has your back and that everything the devil tries to take from you, God will give it back to you tenfold. May God bless you. May God keep you.
Thank you for tuning in to New Generation Worship Center. For more information, please visit www.ngworshipcenter.org.